News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Lots of stuff happening. I'm calling this first section of the Triple Dipper, taking it to the finish line. All right, so, I mean, this is it. It's voting day. And like you didn't know that, but here it is. It's voting day, finally. I mean, how many times have we been inundated now on the radio, on TV, in our mailboxes with, you know, campaign ads? You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a politician right now. I mean, they're all out there touting things they say they've done or pretend they've done, and it's time to vote. And, you know, it's amazing to me how much is on the ballot in Alabama right now. I mean, I look at it and go, wow, man, wow. I'm sure that other states have their level of activity. I don't know that anybody has as much level of activity, especially in North Alabama. I mean, right now in North Alabama, you're voting not only for governor, secretary of state, state auditor, you're also voting for a U.S. Senate race and a congressional race all at one time, not to mention your state school board and all your local legislative races. Good night. I mean, the ballot is full. And that's, by the way, those are some consequential races. And when I say that, it almost sounds like I'm saying that some are not consequential. I don't care if you're running for dog catcher. The reality is, if you're putting your name out there and you're willing to put your name on a ballot, it matters to you and it matters to your supporters. And that's of consequence. They're, I guess, what I would call some of the more heavyweight races. Some are called down ballots. Down ballot races are the ones that, you know, they don't carry as much weight, raise as much money, or run as many ads. But they're still there, and they still matter. Because good governance is making sure you have the right people in the right places at all levels. Well, okay, there's that. But we've got some of what are the most heavyweight races you can possibly have. When you've got governor, U.S. Senate, and Congress all going at the same time. And by the way, you've got congressional races fairly frequently because they run every 2 years. But right now, most of them are kind of on cruise control. I mean, there may be some competition on the ballot, but not really. Except for Congressional District 5, which is an open seat vacated by Congressman Mo Brooks, who is vying for the U.S. Senate seat right now. And so when Mo Brooks, by the way, you're seeing two anomalies. You rarely ever see an open seat Congress and an open seat U.S. Senate all at the same time. And here's the other kicker. I think runoff is going to be the word of the day. I think you're going to see a lot of runoffs because this has been a hotly contested race hotly contested. And what's interesting is the vast level of differences among the parties. Now, sure, they all get out there and go, I'm a Trump Republican. I'm red through and through. I have always been born and bred a Republican. I'm a Christian, conservative, gun-toting, pro-life Republican. They all say that. But then when you look deeper, you look at their resumes. I mean, golly, man, what choices? What choices? You've got, for instance, in Congressional District 5, you've got great candidates. I mean, John Roberts is on the other day. He's got a solid resume in, you know, working in the Chamber of Commerce and working in business development and doing those things. Paul Sanford served in the Alabama State Senate, very conservative, a small business owner, a restaurateur. And then you've got Casey Wardinsky, a career in the military, a secretary, undersecretary of the Army for Reserve and Manpower Affairs in the Pentagon during the Trump administration, also served as the superintendent of city schools in Huntsville, one of the biggest districts in the state. And then you've got Dale Strong, county commissioner, someone who served his community well, been a volunteer firefighter, if I recall. But yeah, what an eclectic group. And then you've got the U.S. Senate race, the top three in that race. Wow. One congressman, a member of the Tea Party, the Tea Party too, I think he was, a Tea Party supported guy, by Club for Growth, a very conservative organization, a member of the Freedom Caucus, Mo Brooks. A voting record you can look at and go, there's a conservative. And standing right next to him, though, is Mike Durant. Mike Durant with an amazing resume. A military hero. Somebody whose name has been in movies and books. Who built a huge business after a career in the military. And then you got Katie Britt. Katie Britt, who served as chief of staff for Richard Shelby. She's, you know, been doing things in the political arena for years. She was a registered lobbyist, I believe, but she was, I think, president of student government at Alabama. And then, you know, here she is right now running for U.S. Senate. Former president of the Business Council of Alabama. So, yes, you've got choices. And they mean nothing if you don't go vote. Nothing at all. I mean, the quality and the caliber of the candidates in our governor's race, in our statewide races for auditor and secretary of state, all of them, you've got great choices. The Republican ticket is what I'm talking about, obviously. I mean, that's where the weight's going to be. And it's true. It's a red state. The question is, what kind of red? And so I would encourage you to remember that having an R by your name does not make you a conservative. And we've seen that over and over again. That's why my frustration is there right now with the moderate policies I'm seeing out of the Ivy administration. Why I'm seeing good folks who I served with in Montgomery that seem to have gone totally squishy in the legislature. Folks, I'm just telling you, being a Republican and being a conservative, two different things. Right side ruffians go to the polls and look at who you got. And what you're looking at right now is it's going to wind up being a Republican in those offices. That's the weight of Alabama's votes. But is it going to be a conservative? That's going to depend on you. A couple things that are happening out there I want to point out to you is this. Story on Fox News. I touched on it yesterday, but it's getting even funnier. I thought I'd look next door for a minute before I go into stuff here in Alabama. Georgia, here's the headline. You ready? Fox News, Dateline today. Georgia voting shattering turnout records after MSNBC, CNN, and others ran with the Jim Crow accusations. Do you remember this? Golly. Well, it starts off the story. It says, Democrats, corporations, and the liberal media repeatedly decried Georgia's Republican Passed Election Integrity Act as the next Jim Crow. But the Peach State is now seeing record-breaking turnout for early voting ahead of Tuesday's primary. Their primary is today, too. You remember this? President Biden, he even called it, quote, a blatant attack on the Constitution and good conscience. It was Jim Crow in the 21st century. And he even supported, remember this? He supported Major League Baseball moving the 2021 All-Star Game out of Atlanta. Stacey Abrams did too. Well, how's that working out for him? Well, liberal media jumped in. It would deny people the right to vote, especially minorities. It's going to lurch U.S. democracy off balance. Okay. What crap. Georgia's breaking all the early records right now. In fact, according to the Office of the Secretary of State, in Georgia, there have been nearly 800,000 ballots cast by Georgians as of Friday, this past Friday. 800,000. That's three times what they had in 2018 and significantly higher than 2020. Yeah. The Post, which I don't know the Post where. It's not the New York Post. It just says the Post. Anyway, the Post interviewed people, and they said they interviewed a 70-year-old black woman that spoke with the Post, who said that she was surprised at how easily she was able to vote. This is her quote. She said, I had heard they were going to try and deter us in any way possible because of the fact we didn't go Republican on the last election when Trump didn't win. But she says, to go in there and vote as easily as I did, to be treated with the respect that I knew I deserved as an American citizen, I was really thrown back. Well, that's what happens when the narrative has preached fear over and over and over again in an irresponsible manner. And I'm just glad right now that the facts are coming back to prove them wrong. All right, new development, switching back to Alabama. This is interesting. I saw this first thing this morning. It was texted to me at like 5:15 this morning. So yesterday, Mike Durant is at an event in Huntsville. And WHNT Channel 19 News was there, and they had a presser, and they were talking to him on camera. And the video is out there. It's actually on my Twitter feed. You can go to my Twitter at Sen, that's S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams on Twitter if you want to. But Mike Durant says that if he doesn't place in the first two for a runoff in the U.S. Senate race, that he's going to throw his weight behind Mo Brooks. Wow. Wow. Which, by the way, don't tell me they haven't already talked. I'm betting they have. I'm betting both the Brooks and the Durant campaigns have already had discussions, and whichever one of them winds up being number two, they're going to be supporting the other. It says, during a press gaggle at an event captured on video by Huntsville Television's WHNT. This is, by the way, this is Jeff Poor, my friend Jeff Poor, writing for 1819 News. He says, Durant said he was still confident about his prospects, and he should be because he's still one of the top contenders. However, he said he would absolutely support his other opponent, U.S. Representative Mo Brooks, if he were to miss the June 21st runoff. Here's his quote. You ready? Mike Durant says, quote, if I don't make the runoff, it's absolutely because of the misinformation. He says, I'm confident we're going to make the runoff because I hear from voters all over the state. They see through it. Not all of them, but the majority see through it. But absolutely, he says, it's pretty clear. I had a double-digit lead before all the false attack ads came out, and that's just not right. He says, it's an unlikely scenario, but I would absolutely support Congressman Brooks because the way the Britt campaign has handled this race, this is Mike Durant talking. He says, if you're going to be that corrupt in an election, then you're going to be that corrupt in office, and we've got enough of that. Wow. That's laying it down thick, brother. I mean, that's fire for effect right there. And that's interesting, too, because if you remember when Mike Durant first got in the race, there were people out there saying, he's just there. He's the establishment red herring. He's trying to draw votes away from Brooks. He's really there to help Britt. Nope, not apparently so. Not apparently so. I got more like that. Like, for instance, the fact that some big endorsements came in from Mo Brooks yesterday. And then we'll move on down. Did you know that libertarians may show up in this year's ballot? I'll tell you about that in a minute. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. We will do that. We will come right back, and we'll keep moving on taking it to the finish line. And by the way, top of the hour, you got to stay tuned because Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth will be with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, listen, it's that day. It's voting day. Number one, here on the Triple Dipper, we're talking about, I'm calling it, taking it to the finish line. So a moment ago, I told you about something related to the Durant campaign. Durant clearly putting a line in the sand, saying that if he does not wind up being one of the top two, because there's going to be a runoff, by the way. There's going to be a runoff in a multiple races, I believe. But there's definitely going to be a runoff in the U.S. Senate race. Nobody's getting over 50. Nobody believes that. I think every candidate knows that. But the interesting thing is going to be what happens after the top two are named. Well, Durant went ahead and just put it out there. And I guess that's, you know, a little bit of the military-style personality, a little more cut and dry, a little more forthright. Anyway, the bottom line is he says, if I don't make it in the top two, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, if I don't make it in the top two, I'm not about to support Katie Britt. Not after the way she's attacked me, I'll be supporting Mo Brooks. So that's interesting. Well, here's another thing that happened, though. Mo Brooks got several Republican endorsements. I pulled this one off of 1819 News also. By the way, let me just say this. 1819news.com, that's 1819news.com. If you've not checked them out, you gotta. You just gotta. 1819 News has become one of my go-to sources, but they're also friends of mine. I know them, and they have come in and made a splash in the world of Alabama reporting. And it's literally, they're just, all they're doing is they're really reporting news. Isn't that cool? The skew and the spew is not mixed into their stories. They're not trying to slant you in a certain direction. They're not lauding all the things that, you know, most Alabamians don't like. They are literally calling what I call the balls and the strikes. 1819news.com. It's named for the year that Alabama became a state because they love this state the same as you and I do. And they also, by the way, report on the stories that make you proud to be an Alabamian. So all that to say, I wish you'd check them out. 1819news.com. Well, that's where this story that I'm about to go into just came from. 1819 says, Mo Brooks accepts massive Republican endorsements on eve of Alabama primary. So two of the top heavyweights in the U.S. Senate currently there, known for their conservative bona fides. Ted Cruz was here in Huntsville yesterday, appeared on behalf of Mo Brooks, heavily endorsed him, talked about how great it would be to see him elected. And then last night, Brooks was also joined by Senator Rand Paul in a tele-town hall, basically a video town hall, in which he also endorsed Brooks. And Paul opened up this town hall with an excited endorsement, it says in the article written by Craig Monger at 1819. He says, chastising the Republican voting record. The Republican vote. By the way, when Republicans are willing to chastise other Republicans, you know that they're probably going to be willing to speak truth to power when the time comes. So chastising the Republican voting record on the budget and Obamacare while claiming that Brooks is one of the top five most conservative members of the House. Goes on to say, too, though, by the way, that Brooks and Brooks's opponents, Katie Britt and Mike Durant, both criticized his no vote on the National Defense Authorization Act. But Brooks countered that by saying that was because the NDAA, as we call it, contained several what they call red flag laws, and also it did things like making females eligible for the draft and vaccine mandates for U.S. military. So anyway, there was a whole lot of going back and forth about what's what, but the end result is yesterday, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul showed up hard for Mo Brooks. So there's that. So what do I believe is going to happen? Runoff is going to be the word of the day. I think you're going to wind up seeing a runoff in the U.S. Senate race. I think you're going to see a runoff in the governor's race. I think you're going to see a runoff in the Secretary of State's race, and I think you're going to see a runoff in Congressional District 5. So four big races, all of which have major impact, I think you're going to see runoffs in those. I am not going to be a bit surprised to also see some of the state legislative races here in the listening area turn into a runoff. We've got several where there's like three and four candidates running. And by the way, one of those House seats that's available is for Mac McCutcheon, House District 25, right here in the Huntsville area. House District 25, Speaker of the House, Mac McCutcheon, has served for 16 years. He is retiring, spending more time with his family is what he's got planned. And there are three people now going for his job. Two Republicans, Philip Rigsby and Buck Clemens, and the Democrat, Mallory Hagan, who's unopposed in the Democrat primary. So you've got a race for what has been a major legislative seat in the Alabama State House, because that's where the Speaker of the House has resided. Before that, he was the Rules Chairman. Those are the two top most powerful positions in the Alabama State House, Rules Chair and then Speaker. Well, that's him. He's been both, and he is now retiring, leaving a leadership vacuum, so we'll see how that gets filled. But in the meantime, got to fill the whole seat. So there's that. One interesting thing, too, that's really flying under the radar. But I pulled this story. Okay, another one off of 1819. So 1819's been hitting on some of the stories I didn't know were out there. Did you know that libertarians have actually gained ballot access? By the way, it's no small thing. You can't just be on the ballot. You're not allowed to just go, I choose to run on the ice cream party. No, it doesn't work that way. Under the state law, and I've forgotten how many signatures you have to have, but you have to have a certain number of signatures petitioning to put somebody who's a non-Republican or Democrat on the ballot. Well, the Libertarian Party has apparently qualified. And so the Secretary of State says, coming up in the fall, you will have Libertarian tickets on statewide races to include the race for governor and U.S. Senate. That's new and different. There it is. So those candidates are apparently on their Libertarian website. That story is on 1819 News. You can check it out. All right, folks, coming up next, right after the news break, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth set to call in. We'll see what he has to say about statewide elections and the tone of what he's hearing in the campaigns. We'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned.